the familiar words of Job chapter 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The date 420 has become kind of a counterculture holiday, if you will, in our society, especially among the youth. The marijuana smoking crowd sees this day as its high festival, pun intended. Today on the campus of the University of Colorado, police are expecting more than 10,000 students to gather on the campus for a large pot sit-in, to sit and congregate and smoke weed all day. What a statement that is about life and about the reality of, the depressing reality maybe, of this fallen world that we live in. To think that taking some leaves, drying them out, chopping them up, burning them, and sucking the fumes into your lungs, and that causing your mind to forget about for a little while how bad your life is, so you can kind of drift to a different place for a while. And all of this is worth risking the money that you put up for it and potential arrest and everything else. That's all worth getting out of the reality of your life. It's kind of a statement, isn't it, about how bad this world is. That's something hopeful. What a joke. April 20th also is kind of a day marking the day of death. It's Adolf Hitler's birthday. There are some that actually celebrate that. Think of all the lives he took. It's also the 10th anniversary, as I'm sure you know today, of the shooting at Columbine that claimed all of those young teenage lives. 420 to me is always a reminder of how bad this life and this world is. Just how much it stinks. You know, it really can, and it really does. And how much we would love to escape from the reality of this fallen world, and how depressing it is to look ahead at the box that's going to someday hold you and put you in the ground. And despite the fact that they'll try as best they can to keep the bugs from getting at your body, it's still going to happen. That's what 420 represents. If anybody had a right to want to escape reality, if anybody had a right to want to escape the fallen nature of this world and the effects it was having on his life, it was the man who uttered the words of our text thousands of years ago, Job. It's kind of puzzling to us why God would let all of this difficulty, evil, sorrow, suffering, and tragedy fall on this one man in such a short period of time in his life. Someone who God himself in the first chapter of Job describes this way: there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man. And yet we think about all that he has to go through, everything that he loses, all of his possessions and his family, the physical suffering that he has to endure, his impending upcoming death that just seems to be in front of him. We wouldn't blame someone in this kind of a situation for just feeling overwhelmed and hopelessness and helplessness and wanting to escape. And yet, these beautiful words that we have in front of us that the church has treasured for years just stick out like a beautiful gem in the midst of all this misery and death. I know that my Redeemer lives. He holds on by faith to his vindicator, his avenger, the one who was coming to crush the head of the serpent who brought all of this evil and death upon him, his Redeemer. That Redeemer, he knows, is the very source of all life and true happiness that is coming for him. And in our text, you get a sense that he's looking ahead to two resurrections. The upcoming resurrection of his Savior, that Easter resurrection that we have celebrated, but also beyond that, his future resurrection of his own body. And with that in his heart and mind, he says, "How my heart yearns within me." That's something to look forward to and to long for. Even though he faces the reality that his own body will undergo the same decay that will meet all of us someday, yet he says these great words, "In my flesh I shall see God." And then it's like he underlines that it's going to be him. "In my own eyes I shall see him and not another." The future answer to the present misery of his life, and for us as well, is to be found in Christ. Not in a bunch of smoke that we suck into our lungs. By faith, Job clings and holds on to him despite his present condition, despite the bad counsel from his friends, and despite even the doubts that start to rage in his own heart and mind. The faith implanted in him by the work of the Holy Spirit overrides all of this, what he might empirically look at otherwise according to empirical reason, and the conclusions he might have drawn on his own. Faith overrides all of this and holds on to the promises he has in his Redeemer. Trust in the resurrection is at the core, is at the foundation of the biblical faith throughout all ages and continues to be for us today. By faith, you personally possess the victory of Christ and everything that stands for. If you've ever traveled to a foreign country, if you ever will, and you have to do that by flying, you will quickly come to realize how important your passport is. It's a tiny, flimsy little piece of plastic and paper and staples, but that passport means everything when you leave this country, and especially if you're in another airport in a foreign land expecting to come back into this land and into this country. And people will tell you when you fly how you better take care of it. Some will recommend you put it under your clothing and strap it to your chest because you don't want to lose it. But even should you be foolish enough to carry it in your fingertips through the airport in a foreign land, whether you have it lightly in your fingertips or whether you have it strapped tightly to your chest, either way, that little passport possesses the fullness of your citizenship back here in the United States, whether you're holding it in a flimsy way or whether you're holding it firmly. And so it is with our faith in Christ. Whether we are holding on to Christ in a firm and tight way with a secure faith and grip on him, or whether it's with a weak and flimsy faith, yet what we possess by that remains the same. Isaiah says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." How wonderful it is for us whose faith goes up and down and up and down with all of the different things that happen in our lives. How wonderful it is for us that God does not make a judgment upon us based upon the severity or strength of our faith. Right now, in your life, for whatever reason, maybe things aren't going the way you'd like. Maybe there's a lot in front of you that terrifies you. But right now, you may be just barely holding on to Christ. Just barely holding on to him. And yet even that possesses everything that the faith of Abraham possessed. But just like holding on to a passport in a flimsy way, the danger is losing it or having it taken away. And so it is with our faith. Though God rewards that flimsy, tiny little spark of faith with the same gifts as he does to Abraham with his strong faith, nonetheless, our Lord also encourages us to strengthen this faith, to get a white-knuckle grip on our Savior. And he sends us to the things that will strengthen that faith: his word and sacrament, and those members of his church who will encourage us and help us in that faith. And so may God grant us the gift of faith to find ways to get a tighter grip on it. Without Christ, just like without your passport, without holding on to Christ by faith, the best that you have in this life is the smell of burning leaves and a really nice box in your future. That's the harsh reality of this world. And yet with Christ, by faith, you possess the gates of heaven, entrance into them, and all the beauties of eternal life that Christ has come to win for you. Amen. Please rise. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen.